Hello and welcome to the West City Church podcast. If you'd like to get to know us more, find us at westcitychurch.com.au. We really hope that you're encouraged by today's message.
I really like that song. I haven't heard it for a while. Lovely. Hello, everyone. I'm not ignoring you, I'm just trying to get my 49 slides up and running. Okay, here there. Three, I only got three. Yeah. Well, we are in our final of the series, Come Now, Lord Jesus, our Advent series. So good to see everyone here. If you don't know who I am, I'm Phil. I'm part of the team here at West City. If it's your first time, welcome. If it's your millionth time, welcome. And I'm going to start off, you know, God's word's important. I want to start off by reading you two passages of scripture. Now, the first one's going to feel all Christmassy. And the second one, you might wonder how it fits in. But hopefully, by the end, through my powers of persuasion, hopefully by the end, this second passage that I'm going to read to you now will make sense. So let's read the first one from Isaiah 9:6. This is written probably around 700 years before Jesus was born, so 2,700 years ago. Isaiah wrote this prophetic passage. For to us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And everyone said, hip hip. Hooray. Here's the second one. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he is the Messiah. Let's start with this first passage. In this first passage, Isaiah says, there's going to be a child born, and the government is going to rest upon his shoulders. It's going to be a king. It's going to have authority. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right? And Jesus is given these names. And, you know, for every one of us who has kids, hopefully you've given them a name. Yes? Not a number or I don't know what Elon Musk did. But anyway, you've given them a name. And often that name has a meaning, right? And sometimes those children that we give those names to, they kind of, they're who they are sort of represents the meaning of their name. Sometimes not, sometimes yes. Sarah, beautiful Sarah on the second row. I know, she's like, oh no, you're singling me out again. But Sarah, you know my daughter's called Sarah, you know, and do you know what it means? Let me tell you. It means Father's delight. Yeah. Oh, sorry, that's Abby. Sarah means princess or noblewoman. That's what Sarah means. That's what happens when you don't look at your right notes, hey? Like, get back to it. Sarah means princess, and she is a bit of a princess. I mean, sometimes she's been like demon growing up as well, but... princess, and Abby means Father's delight. And so, Sarah, your meaning is noble princess and Abby's father's delight. And you know what? When Abby was born, I literally... She's our firstborn. That's correct, isn't it? Yeah. Just check with the oracle. As you know, I often get things wrong. If you're here for the first time today, just go with it. It's all good. When Abby was born, I couldn't believe. I just was overjoyed. I was like, wow, this is amazing. I was laughing, partly because I'd tried some of the gas Caroline had used. Yes. Anyway, I was laughing and just overjoyed. And her name, the meaning of her name, really matched who she had was to me at that time. And still today, I delight in her. I was talking to a guy the other day and at the pub, and, you know, I hang around with a bunch of guys there, as I said, and I said, oh, mate, I don't know your name. He's Greek. And he said, just call me Stasi. And I was like, Stasi, okay. I was like, is that like short for something? And he said, it's short for Anastasi. And I was like, that sounds familiar, Anastasi. And then I realized Anastasi is Greek for the word resurrection. And I was like looking at him going, do you know what your name means? He's like, yes, I'm Greek. Of course I know what my name means. You know, I was like, but you know, this guy, Stasi, by the way, Stasi, Stu, said to me, he said, if you ever have a cleanup at the church, let me know, I'll come and clean up and help out. Because he said, I just love doing that stuff. So next Saturday, he'll be there. I'll text him. It's going to be great. I won't be there, but he will. No, I'll come as well. And so I said, your name means resurrection. And you know, that's my hope for him. That, you know, he's had an incredibly tough life. A guy in his 60s now. And yet, I hope the meaning of his name will become a reality for him, that he will experience resurrection, that like the phoenix, he'll rise from the ashes in Jesus' name. My name, as I've said before, is a Greek origin, and it's a mixture of two words. The Greek word is philippos. It's made up of the two words philos and hippos. Philos means lover or friend. Hello, baby. And hippos means hippopotamus. No, it means horses, lover of horses or hippos, if you want. And I'm like, my name, I don't like horses. I've had bad experiences with them trying to kill me. But unlike... to that I say, nay, no. But unlike me and not representing my name, in Isaiah we have Jesus and his name's given to him, and he fully represents his name, not just it representing his divine character and his ministry, but also his mission. And not just that, but what he would be to the world. And by extension, you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you. So let me read it again. For he will be called, right, Wonderful Counselor. When was the last time that Jesus was your Wonderful Counselor? Mighty God. God's big and strong for a reason, because he cares and he wants to help. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Not only is he eternal, but he relates to you in a deep, intimate, relatable way. He says, I don't want to just be a God out there at a distance, but I want to have a relationship where you know you're my kid, Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, as Kerry has said today. The world needs more hope and peace. And Jesus says, Isaiah says about Jesus, that his name will not only be called these things, but he will be these things. For the world and for us. Now let me come to the second passage I read today. Because on many occasions, like the one I read in Matthew, Jesus, in the Gospels, you can find them, Jesus people will have like encounters with him, and then he'll say this really weird thing. Jesus will say, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Like, I'm sorry, Jesus, but if I were you, I'd be like, yeah, go tell everyone. That's why you're glad I'm not Jesus, right? Amen. But why might that be? Why would he say, don't tell others what you've discovered about me and the meaning of my names that I'm living out on in this world? Why would he say that? And the only reason I can imagine is that he's saying every one of us has to come to that knowledge for ourselves of who he is. Remember, he asks Peter in this passage, who do you say that I am? And at the end of the passage, he says, don't go and tell anyone. I'll just refresh your memory just in case you don't believe me. I bolded it. Then he ordered his disciples, don't tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Why would he do that? The only reason I can imagine he's saying every one of us has to come to that knowledge ourselves of who he is. We can't let someone else do our spiritual homework for us. But if you're like me, let's be honest, we do, don't we? We ask our church or our pastors or our mentors, tell us what to believe about the stuff. Tell us, and we'll kind of believe it. And here, Jesus is saying, is this your experience yourself? That's what he's asking. What's your experience? Often the answer for us is usually not. I know what I've learned. I know what I've been told. But it's not my experience. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And here Jesus says, who do you say I am? What have you experienced? What have you personally discovered? What knowledge do you have? And that's why in this passage today, I wanted to add it to the first passage. You see why? Because we can come at Christmas and sing these words. But I believe Jesus is saying, I want who I am to be really real to you. So you don't just have to sing words but or information, but you can have revelation. This is the promise of Jesus. You know, the whole Christmas story that we're going to get acted out by the kids in 2 weeks' time, the whole Christmas story is about people encountering God and coming towards him and having their lives transform, right? Think about it, Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men. And I think this Christmas, as I've been praying for you this week, I really believe that there's an invite by Jesus to say, what do my names mean to you? What do they mean to you? Not what do you believe about them, or what have you been told about them, or what have you learnt about them, but Jesus is saying, what do you say about that? For you, for me, and for you. You know, sometimes before I became a pastor, right? Some people, maybe you think I just was like, what's the easiest job I can do in society? Oh, I know, work one day a week, be a priest, right? Can I just let you know that pastoring for me is my gift to you in the sense that I don't find it easy or even that I really like it, as in a lot of the roles and jobs I have to do as a pastor. I mean, let's face it, if Jesus said leadership style 101 for spiritual, you know, for church leaders, for example, is foot washing, right? Not lording it over, but foot washing. How many of you know that is not a glamorous job? This is about as glamorous as it gets, having a little talk. But one of the challenges that is hard for me is because I love Jesus. I love him. I loved him when I was back as an 18-year-old in my bedroom with all the verses on my walls, and like I turned my bedroom into like a Bible school, and I would just spend time with him, pray and love him and be loved by him and have him encounter me. And I never thought I would do this as a job. I never wanted to do this as a job. I just wanted to be with him and follow him and just wherever I went. And he began to speak to me about doing this. And so one of the hard things is, I know maybe you feel I get up each week and say some stuff like this about Jesus says, who do you say that I am? Because that's my job and I have to do it. And, you know, like, you know, keep pushing the, you know, the corporate message or whatever it is. It's not. The frustration is, I think sometimes we can come and we can believe and be told a bunch of stuff. But there's something so much more deeper and wonderful, and his name is Jesus. And he invites you, not just in church, in fact, many times not when we gather together, outside on a beach looking at a sunset or on top of a mountain, or even in the worst times of your life, he comes and he says, I want to be a wonderful counselor to you, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. And this Christmas, may you hear the question from Jesus asking, you know, who do you say that I am? And may you discover for yourself that he is the Christ, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. I'm going to ask MJ and the team to come up. And can we sing that storm one? Ah, la, da, 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 stormy, stormy, storm. Yeah. hey, I would love for us just to take a moment before we come to the table. For you to have a moment as we're singing this, to maybe hear the question, who do you say that I am? Who do you know me as? And if you know you're in a place at the moment where you've got a lot of information about God, great, that's great. But could it be possible that that could be added to by a beautiful sense of the Prince of Peace coming and being a part right now by his Spirit? Because that's his promise. And the thing is, in that passage of scripture, when Peter said those words, Jesus said to him, you know what? Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. A pastor up the front can't reveal it to you. A book can't reveal it to you. A seminar can't reveal it to you. A church denomination can't reveal it to you. Flesh and blood can't reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And the good news of Christmas is God is Emmanuel. God wants to come close and reveal it. So, can we do a bit of an experiment? I like doing experiments. Can we do one today? I'm going to do it anyway, so you don't have to answer me. Maybe what we could do is we'll just stand to our feet. And I'd love it if you could, to just save on being distracted, maybe just if we could just close our eyes. And this is nothing to do with music or creating an atmosphere, because as I said, when I encountered Jesus at 18, I wasn't in church. I was in someone's unit, and they were just chatting and talking, and I encountered the Jesus who I can say now, you are the Christ, you are the one. I know it. So as these guys sing, I'm just going to pray. And maybe it's an opportunity for you to think about that question. Think about, do I know Jesus as those things listed in his name? And the beautiful thing is, he's not distant and he's not mad at you and he's not playing hide and seek. He's playing seek and find. And he wants to draw close to you right now. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. So why don't we do it? Jesus, thank you for your invitation. The invitation to answer the question, who am I to you? Who am I to you? Thank you for people like Isaiah who prophesied who you would be. But Lord, we don't want to just sing your name this Christmas. We want to, Lord, know the person behind the name, person behind those beautiful statements of your divine nature and character in your ministry. And so this morning, Lord, as we sing this song, I pray every heart that just says, Lord, draw close to me right now. I thank you that you will respond and you are responding in Jesus' name. Come on, let's sing it together and then we'll come around the table.
How good was that message? Thank you so much for joining us. Each week at West City, we say a benediction together. We do this because we believe that the purpose of the church is to be a caring community for the world, and that as we go and serve others, we enter into Christ's work of welcome, restoration, and healing, both for us and others. We believe that in doing so, we get to see and encounter Christ. So let's say the benediction together. We come together as the church to be reminded of the go of Christ. So we will go out and feed the hungry, go out and clothe the naked, go out and fight for justice, go out and end oppression, go out and proclaim anew the old, old story, go out and associate with those who don't look like us, think like us, act like us, and don't even like us. And we'll do it all in the name of the one who sent us. His name is Jesus.